All right, Matthew chapter 7, notes. If I could have like two men help me, that would be good. Two able-bodied men. Do we have able-bodied men? Jim, you're able-bodied. And he's more able than any of us. Thank you. Matthew chapter 7, please, verse 12. The notes, as some of you will recognize, have a blip in them. I did that for you that never pay attention to the notes, but only the blips. All right, does everybody have notes? And everybody has notes they can read. All right, let's stand, please. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. For you that were in Sunday school, this is simply a recapitulation. I'm just going to hurriedly go through the main points of what I did in Sunday school, and I'm going to conclude this evening. This will be about 30 minutes at the most. I'm not going to read the passage in Esther. If you want to read the passage in Esther, you may read the passage in Esther. All right? Matthew 7 and verse 12. Therefore, now obviously Jesus is speaking to believers, all things. So he kind of doubles up language. In every way, in all things, whatsoever. So that's pretty, look at me friends, that's as big as you can get. In every single way in your life. How do you treat people? Well, he tells us, whatsoever you would that men, not males, humans, should do to you, do you even so, what? To them. Why? For this is the law and the prophets. You say, does that mean I don't have to read the Old Testament? The answer would be no. You never have to read the Old Testament again. No, the Old Testament simply explicates what? Look at me, please. This is how you treat people. So, we're going to talk tonight about Marxist analysis. So, everybody, I understand. I said in Sunday school, I'll say again, in this room, one-third or more will have no idea what I'm talking about through most of the sermon. I already know that. Ideas are not what we deal with in America. We're people that are more food, time, TV, that sort of thing. But these are ideas. But here's what Marxist or neo-Marxist analysis is. Look at me, please, all of you. Got glasses? When you put your glasses on, everything you see comes through your glasses. Well, Marxist analysis is like having sunglasses that are purple. Everything you see is purple. That's what I mean. If you were not here in Sunday school, I am not going to reteach anything. You will need to listen to Sunday school. But we will finish out in some good places. Some of you, things will click. In big ways, especially when we get to the end. So we're just going to go back through the basic ideas, pick up where we left off, and 30 minutes we'll be done. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What in the world is Marxist analysis? Pastor Warren does not have one thing that you have. I'm assuming everybody in this room, this might be wrong, but I'm assuming every male in this room, males, look at me. Do all of you have normal color vision? Anybody with colorblind? Anybody? You're colorblind. Which way? That's the reason we have so much in common. Me too. By the way, I have a hard time with colors. I bought a pair of sunglasses one time. When I put them on, it was like, because everything, I thought they were yellow. They could have been green. Who knows? They were some color other than clear. Friend, Marxist analysis. Now, this is what you have to do. Sorry. Now you have to watch the national news. ABC, CBS, NBC, do it for a week. Don't watch the programs. Watch how they analyze. Everything will be analyzed in groupthink. Look at me. Groupthink. Groups of people. Us against them. Them against us. We call that identity politics, where somehow by the skin color tells you how a person votes, which is kind of retarded since most Americans vote in various ways, whether they're white or whatever color. So here's Marxist analysis, and I'm going to go through it quickly. Ideas. First of all, there are two groups. Secondly, and only two groups. So in some fashion, you cannot use this tool unless you can figure out a way of making it only two groups. I say in your notes, Marxism of any variety, and I'm actually using this in what's called neo-Marxism, of any variety is always undone by the presence of more than two groups. So I'm going to say this without saying a name. No one will know except the person used to sit right where Rhonda's sitting and was a negative person. And by the way, the older I get, the less I like negative. When we used to have a Filipino church in this church, somebody went to the kindergarten class and did something really stupid during the summer. I cannot even say in a public setting. But they did something that has to do with a bathroom in K-5 when it used to be downstairs in the basement. That negative hag immediately said what? Didn't say Filipinos. They. They did it. Because it was our church and it was them and they did it. And I said, well, you tell me what I said. Let's see how smart we are tonight. I didn't say anything. What did I do? Some of you are like, how do you know they did it? And all of a sudden her negative, filthy little mouth went. We like groupthink. Did you know that? Us against them. They did it. Frankly, I don't know who did it. But we have plenty of creatures that have come through this church through the years. We could have been one of them. I don't know. Two groups. Number three, in conflict. Got to be conflict. Conflict, conflict, conflict. Everything is based on conflict. Oh my goodness, friends, they analyze everything under the sun based on this stuff. How many people go to the aquarium? Well, the people that are oppressed don't go to the aquarium. It's just everything you can think of. After a while, it's like, will you please shut up? Groupthink, identity politics, us against them, two groups in conflict. I'll repeat this quickly. Two groups getting along doesn't work. So we must have conflict. This is the reason, as much as churches talk about having multicultural churches, churches in Waukegan and North Chicago and Zion are almost always monolithic. Look me in the eyes. You go to Chicago, Waukegan, there might be one white person there. You go to a Hispanic church, they'll all, by the way, why? We like to be in our group so we can do the group stuff. I don't, but we like it. In your notes, and by the way, if a church has groups of different varieties, that group doesn't count because you got to have the conflict. There's the fast, violent conflict, and that would be, by the way, fast, violent conflict like Lenin. We have a young lady in the back. Her name is Sonia. Folks, Sonia grew up in what country? Somebody raise your hand. Yes. Grew up in what country? What country did you grow up in, sister? El Salvador? And what happened in El Salvador? Civil War, correct? And you know why it was? Groups. By the way, folks, if you get two groups, you're going to have civil war. It's not pretty. Not pretty. Next in your notes. There's also the slow nonviolent conflict. That comes from the where you're always stirring the pot. You use this, Mike, we've talked about this a little this morning. The unions have used this for decades. the bosses, the owners, they're bad people. And every day, can I tell you something? If I hang around five union people for 5 minutes, that's all I can usually take. Because you know what's sad? That's their whole life. And I always tell those kind of lazy people, if you want to talk about the boss, become a boss. Shut up telling everybody how bad they are. But I got uncles that way. That's their life. Just, I'm a good guy because I'm a union guy. They're bad guys. By the way, folks, we use it all over. There's also, this is the media, find the conflict and exaggerate it. Boy, the media is good at this. Number four, one group is good, the oppressed. And one group is evil or bad, the oppressors. In America, your big groupings are going to be as follows. And by the way, these can come from all different directions. You can have racism, black people or people of color and whites. Because everybody knows America's only got black people and white people. There's no other kinds of people. You know what I find funny? I went to Peru. You need to go to Peru. All the Spanish I thought I knew, I learned I do know some Spanish. It's called Mexican. I would say momentito, and they would look at me like, they don't use the term momentito. Just, I would say mijo, my son. They don't use that. All the things I have learned that I've used for a lifetime, they were like, folks, are all people that speak Spanish one big group? We're weird. Racism. Blacks are people of color and whites. And then I say pay absolutely no attention to any other form of racism. Just white against black, and whites are, of course, the oppressors. Blacks can't be the oppressors. They can't be racist. Then there's classism, rich and poor. And, of course, there's an underlying statement. So please look at me, everybody. This will come into the very end. If we're talking traditional Marxism, look up here. Rich and poor, why are the rich rich? Because they oppress the poor. So the reason the bosses have so much more money than you, look at me, they have so much more money than you is they're bad guys stealing your money. Could it be that some people are smarter than others? Could it be that some people are entrepreneurs and some people aren't? Raise your hand. How many entrepreneurs in this room? My guess, zero. Most of us work for somebody else. No comment on his politics or his person. Who's the guy that's in charge of Tesla? You think he might be an entrepreneur? You think he got that from stealing from people? He's evil. He got that because he's brilliant at doing what he does. He's weird, but he's brilliant. By the way, America has a whole country where you could... If you're in Russia, if you're rich, you already know something. The way you got rich was by oppressing people. In America, you can get rich just because you're smart, gifted, hardworking, creative, crazy. We got a bunch of them. I can remember when a friend of mine told me that Amazon would never work. You know, Amazon, I can't remember the exact, so if this is not exact, please don't be offended. For 3 or 4 or 5 years, they didn't make money. He kept telling me, that's the dumbest idea ever. Do you think he's saying that now? Everybody's saying, why didn't we think of that Amazon thing? Yes. But in classic Marxism, there's rich people, and the way they're rich is by oppressing poor people. By the way, in some countries that's true, but it doesn't have to be true at all. Though I've heard it in my own family. So, Mike, if you and I sat down and talked about the unions, I would know everything you're ever going to say by overhearing my uncles and my dad talk union nonsense. Everything. Bosses, bad, evil. All bosses are stupid. Ooh. Next. Sexism. Males and females. And everybody knows males are evil and women are divine. Well, Frenchie really elevated. Wow, divine. Well, in that case, it is not much of an equality. It is. But yes, genderism. I love this one. And here's the funny thing. If you're over 30, 35 in this room, genderism is just as clueless to you. But if you're a teenager going to our school and our church, this is your whole world. This morning when I mentioned it in Sunday school, I looked at some of our kids. They live in this world. And some of you are still trying to figure trans who? Trans what? Folks, I never questioned whether I was a male. I not only never questioned it, I never knew that. Was like, what? Yeah, it's like, that's kind of like saying, does it snow in Chicago in the winter? It's like, yeah, probably. All right. Of course, as I said in Sunday school, LGBTQ, blah, 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 blah. They use that as a what? A group. Look at me, please. And there can only be how many groups? And this group of mishmash, they don't like each other. This is well documented. But they have to have two groups, because if you have multiple groups, Marxism and this whole way you look at the world collapses. So that's what I say. Number five, the good group, which are the oppressed. So in the four in America, if you're anything other than white, you're good. Do I believe that you're good if you're other than white? Folks, I actually am a Christian. I think all of us are sinners. I don't think there's any exceptions. I've never met the exception. Even Lois the divine is a sinner. Yes? Even, do you realize we have at least three women? I don't know about Emily. I'll come to you, Emily. We have three women at least in this room tonight that went through Bob Jones University without demerits. Folks, I wouldn't make it the first week at Bob Jones University without demerits. So, Christy, how are you up there? Here we go. Like mother, like daughter. Not like dad. And then we have my wife, and we have... How about you, Emily? How did you do? You what did you get? Two demerits in 4 years? Oh, she's... I better hurry on. We're going to get in trouble. All right, in your notes. The good group or the oppressed can never become the bad group or the oppressors. So friends, please look at me. You're going to have people, when you see, look at me, pure, unadulterated racism that will tell you, but I can't be a racist. Tim and I went out to eat to one of my favorite restaurants. Tim likes it too. It's a little place called Papa Marcos. We went out to eat with two Romanians, a Romanian, the guy that's in charge of the books, and was the guy that was the school administrator there at Lagos. Now listen, the Romanian people have been oppressed for 2,000 years. The Romans oppressed them. The Muslims oppressed them. The Habsburgs oppressed them. Everybody oppressed the Romanians. But out of their mouths came great wisdom. They said, yeah, and we have oppressed the gypsies. By the way, there is no such thing as a good group. Do you understand? Look at me. I'm not talking about being a Democrat. I couldn't be a Democrat, but I understand if you were a middle-of-the-road Democrat, you do not have to hold to the goofball stuff on the far left. But that far left acts like we don't sin, only you sin. I've heard uglier ways of saying it. I'll reserve those. But that is the thinking. Let's turn the page, please. Number six. The good group, or the good individual, can only become bad if they, he or she, do this. The only way you can become one of the bad guys is if you do this. You agree with, or you support, or you join the bad group. So if you've ever wanted to know why some politicians struggle so much to even see reality, please look at me. Nobody's going to call me anything other than what I am. But if you're a minority in America, African American specifically, if you don't understand this, talk to Sparky, because I'm sure you get a lot of this in many ways. Friends, if you're an African American, you are a Democrat. Didn't you hear what Biden said before the election? You have to vote Democratic. And you say, well, why do they have to? Let me ask you a serious question. Does anybody force you to vote anyway? No. You just vote. But if you're African-American and you come out against the Democratic Party, then they say things like this, well, you're my color, but you're not my kind, which I think is a form of racism. It just goes on and on because you have joined the bad people. No matter what. I have a book in my office called Sellout. It is the most disturbing book I have ever read by a man that was, I think he was a professor at Harvard. He might still be. His wife was a professor. And he just flat out said this. You cannot buck the system, especially when you become an important person like him, without being called Clarence Thomas. You ever wonder why people hate Clarence Thomas? I've asked racists this. Have you ever read Clarence Thomas's opinions? And they, what's their answer? Of course not. They don't even know who Clarence Thomas is. He's a bad guy. Clarence Thomas goes his own way on the Supreme Court. Almost never does he agree with the majority in the way these racists think. He's a natural law guy. He's very bright. But he's bad. Well, I'm going to give you, Pastor Warren, we'll talk about this more in Sunday school. This is living death. By the way, everything I'm going to say right now is biblical and it's life and death. So if everything so far has been too heavy for you, this cannot be. What's the big deal? Here's what the big deal is. This is the big deal. The Bible teaches us to see people as individuals, not groups. Did you hear me? We see people as individuals, not groups. What is the first thing you want to do when you meet somebody? Thank you, Jenny. Everybody else say it. What's the first thing you want to do when you meet somebody? Get to know their name. And after you know their name, what else do you want? Their story. Why? Because as a Christian, we treat people as individuals. We don't treat people as they. Oh, that's that Filipino group. That's that black group. That's that Hispanic group. That's that white group. Folks, people are not groups. People are individuals. Please look at me. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the Bible teaches us to see people as individuals. Next, it's not numbered. The Bible also commands we treat people as an individual. We don't treat people as a group. We treat them as an individual, of course. And most importantly, the Bible also commands how we treat individuals. How we treat individuals. All right, I got 10 minutes. I need to borrow. Let's see, who am I going to borrow? Dada, I'll borrow you. Let's see, Rolando, I'll borrow you. If you two gentlemen, yeah, you two, let's see. And Mike, can you go over here, please? And let's see. Only because I love your children. Rolando, you come up here. Stand right up here. Just stand, take the step up to the thing. Dada, you come right at the top of the step. Has everybody seen me do this? Yes or no? By the way, if you can't get this idea in your head, you need to quit Christianity. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2. It gives exactly four commands. I'm going to start with myself. The first command, and I changed the spelling because I hate that old honor spelling, H-O-N-O-U-R. It looks terrible. Here's what the Bible commands. There's four groups. The first command, what is it? Honor what? How many all people are there? Lots of them or a few of them? The vast majority of your people that you're ever going to meet are just normal people. How? Group? No, you treat them as an individual and you honor them. So, if I see someone's mother, I was down at one of the restaurants I like. Where do we go, Tim? What is the name of that Mexican restaurant? We've been there too. Toluca's. I was there one day. I don't know who I was with. Walked to the door. And here comes, I could tell she was an abuelita. She was a grandma. I didn't look and say, oh. She's Hispanic. I treat her as Hispanic. Oh, shut up. Look up here. I treat her exactly as I want my mother treated. So I held the door while this older lady walked in, wasn't real staple. Why? I would do it for anybody's mother. I want to treat your mother, your wife, your daughter, just like I want my mother, my wife, my daughter treated. Can I have an amen? But there's a second level to this. Dada, step up one more, please. Now we have a second level, the brotherhood, which is what? God's people. With God's people, we have two commands. They're still humans, yes or no? So we honor them and we love them. We have a different relationship with God's people than we do with normal people. We have a higher obligation. We don't lose the honor. We just add to it. We love them. I'm sorry. You're a terrible representation. But because I love your children, I'm going to put you there tonight. Then we have God. I know you're thinking the devil, but he really isn't. I'm being funny, but friend, what's our highest obligation of all? Listen, do we just fear God? Oh, no, no, no. We honor him. We love him. And we fear him. That's our highest obligation. But the Bible has four groups. This guy over here. He's back down in the same place I am. He's a king. And you say, what's a king? Think this, important person. Whoever's important to you. Sadly, in America, almost nobody respects presidents anymore. Almost nobody respects anybody but themselves. But there are people everybody respects. If you talk to our young boys, I love them. Basketball consumes their world. So they honor those guys. Here's what the Bible's teaching. We have four relationships. Everybody, God's people, God, important people. And look what it says, friends, and you might want to draw the line. It tells us to honor the king, which is the same word that it tells us to honor all people. So let me summarize. We treat the nobodies, normal people, like we treat the somebodies. So I want to say this. What? Everybody's put in a group. That's not. We treat people with respect, dignity, and let me say this, the Trumpism is just as filthy as the radical leftist. And if you have an ear for what Trump said about Hispanics, Trump would put all Hispanics are drug dealers. But you didn't have a problem with that racism, did you? Yes or no? I did, because it's the form of groupthink on the other end. By the way, that doesn't mean I don't have beliefs about how we should change immigration policy. But immigration policy is separate from individual people. We treat people with respect and dignity. Can I have an amen? I just don't have a choice. So yes, I'm a conservative. I actually believe we ought to have immigration laws. But I seem to be one of the few. Trump wants to hate on people for votes. The liberals want to hate on groups for votes, and they're both evil. By the way, people, treat people like you would treat the most honored people you know. The nobodies are treated like the somebodies. Honor, love, and honor. Honor, love, and fear. Honor the king, just like you honor people. Thank you. Can I ask a question? Are we clear? So when you hear Trump, do you ever listen to that filthy man? My guess is you haven't listened to his speeches. He is so filthy towards people. You say, do you think Trump's a racist? Folks, Trump's is an ultimate narcissist. He doesn't like anybody but somebody by the name of Trump. All right, in your notes. Now we're going to quickly, we got 7 minutes or so or 6 minutes to finish this. Friends, this is simple. For the first time in your life, you might understand the Democratic Party by the time we get done. You're going to understand something that you cannot figure out. In your notes, ideas. This is the Marxist analysis of nations. There are only two kinds of countries or nations. Remember, there can only be. And what are the two kinds? Rich and poor. Thank you. There are only two kinds of countries or nations, rich and poor. the rich and poor countries are in conflict. Is that true? Not with America much. Next, the rich countries are evil or bad. And the poor countries are... Hey, do you ever listen to politicians? So the rich countries are evil or bad, and the poor countries are good. Next, the rich countries are the oppressors, and the poor countries are the oppressed. So friends, why in the world are these poor countries so poor? Because the evil big countries oppress them. Wow, that's weird. Next, the rich countries are only rich because they oppress the poor countries. I want everyone to answer a question. Is that the reason America is wealthy? That's one of the dumbest. Now, by the way, hold it. I haven't said that there aren't times. By the way, America doesn't oppress anybody. But I'm not saying there aren't groups or companies in America that haven't exploited other people. I think Nike has been pretty much demonstrated to be doing that for a long time. And Brother LeBron James can't get his mouth around that because that would be money out of his back pocket. The Uyghurs in China have been oppressed by the Chinese government for a long time, used as slave laborers. That's just factual. But we're talking about a country. Does America go around and just oppress? That's weird. Actually, throughout history, America reminds me, for all of you that have any knowledge of the Phoenicians, are the people from Carthage. We're interested in trade. Yes, we like to make money, but we don't mind if you make some too. We just want to make more. That's kind of every country I know of. So the rich countries are only rich because they oppress the poor countries. Friends, none of you read Spanish, except one, to probably the level you would do this, but if you read what the filthy people in Venezuela say, Chavez and, yes, I did a word play on Maduro today. I said he's dumb as a piece of wood. Maduro means hard, and Madeira means wood. I was just making a play on his name. The president is as dumb as a piece of wood, but look at me. If you listen to his rhetoric, do you know the reason Venezuela's poor? America. You're like, what did America do to Venezuela? Nothing. Venezuela should be the richest country outside of America, probably even Canada, in all the New World, and it's now one of the poorest because of his policies of rape and pillage and destruction. But he blames it on America. That, by the way, all the Marxist countries of South America and Central America have always, if there's a Marxist government, they always go after America. We're the cause. Now, in your notes, the richest country of all, does anybody have any idea who that might be? Anybody? The richest country of all is the most evil of all. Now, friends, we're done, except this. I realize what I'm going to say. For some of you, it'll click, and for some of you, you'll go back to sleep. You now understand how a Democrat on the far left, look at me, looks at America and how they look at international policies. So for all of you, you don't even have to be 75 like Mike Rock. This is the reason, look at me, when a guy named Ronald Reagan talked about Russia as the evil empire, he was absolutely infuriatedly hated. Why? Because there's only one evil country. George W. Bush did the same thing, talking about evil. And the liberals were beside themselves because a liberal believes, now I'm not talking about just a Democrat, Machen, however the guy from West Virginia, and a small group of them aren't this way, but those extremists, God-hating, American-hating groups, the reason they hate us is because we're rich. And how do we get rich? Off poor countries and off poor here. So I have in your notes, according to their thinking, the USA, oppression at home and oppression around the world. Of course, I would ask this question, what about Russia and China? Who are the big empires in the world today? America? Look me in the eyes. America? I would be very curious to where America is trying to build an empire. Now, trade? Oh, no question. We love trade. We love making money. We're trying to do that. An empire? What country have we taken over? What country have we taken over in forever that we've kept? We've even sadly got out of Afghanistan, gave that up, gave up Iraq under, let me think, two what kind of presidents? Someday you'll figure this out, because they cannot do this. Let me just say this to you, friend. A left-wing Democrat, a Marxist, please look at me, has a hard time being a president in America because they want to focus on the evil of America here and abroad. If there's a war, they don't know what to do because it's not about us. And I would tell you there's only two empires today. I gave some of you an article. I hope you understood the article. It was not even an article. About what? Russia's playbook. They're real simple what they want to do. I'm going to finish with this. This is why liberals are progressives. And I have the word always in a big enough print for you. I didn't say sometimes. They're always, what's the next word? Clueless. During wars, a crisis, a foreign conflict. Why? Because only the USA is evil. This is especially true since, by the way, it wasn't true before that. Look at me. John F. Kennedy was a liberal Democrat, but those guys were patriots to the hilt. Harry Truman, don't have to like Roosevelt, patriots to the hilt. You get it after 1972. There was a guy that ran the Democratic Party from the great state of Minnesota. After that, Democrats have increasingly become stupid. And they don't know what to do because they want to talk about how evil we are. And the other little countries are good people. No, folks, we have problems. They have problems because we and they are simply an accumulation of a bunch of individuals. And individuals are sinful, and they have sinful individuals, and every country on earth has the potential to do wrong. I will say this and be done. And there are two empires in the world today, and none of them have the USA in it. Russia, China. If you do not understand that, you should never be a president. Let's pray, and we're done. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen.